O God, may we know ourselves to be beloved in you. Amen. Well, this is not what we expected. I had expected a buzzing church, as it's been for the last number of Sundays, and I had expected three bright young children actively involved with their families who would be baptized into the body of Christ, the community of faith. And once again, we are tutored with how little we actually control in life and how much grace comes when we say yes, like Mary did. We were literally dancing back in the sacristy before the service, just as a way of being in our bodies, saying this here now. Donna brought that wisdom from the medical field, saying they were just teaching themselves to get back in their bodies and feel themselves in this moment, and what a transformation it makes. These days, just now, just this last couple of weeks, as we've stepped back to online worship again, I think put us back into the experienced world of Jesus' first followers in some significant ways. Listen to this picture that's painted in the gospel for this morning. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. This is not the simple, happy expectation of everybody waiting for the ball game to start or waiting for Christmas. It is a complicated, confused, well, actually, complicated is more like Christmas. Complicated, confused, bewildered, contradictory expectation with all kinds of unintended possible consequences. Think about it. Will this be the one to overthrow the Roman Empire and put us back on top? What will that mean for us? What's that going to look like? It's not easy. Our time is one of those complicated times, for sure, with expectations in all directions. And a lot of them are contradictory and unmet. Seems like there is very little that we can touch without setting off all kinds of unintended consequences. Very little we can say without setting someone off in a volatile opposite direction. There is only a short distance that we can plan before everything becomes a muddle or a knot or falls apart. These are times full of expectation, but without direction, and without certainty, and without harmony. In the story, John the Baptist just makes it worse. He just pours gasoline on the fire of complicated expectation by saying this unequivocal but ambiguous, no, but. He says to the answer to the question, are you the one? If you think my messianic charisma is hot, this is just water compared to what's coming, which is fire. And then when Jesus comes to this baptismal site in Jordan, expectations are upended even further. Everyone is caught up in this collective vision where the divine voice, presence, says, you are my beloved. Beloved. That is not what the people were expecting in a Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah that was politically powerful and certain, who would get us out of this mess and put us back on top where we belong. But the divine presence utters this simple, clear relationship of love, of belonging, of being. The eye in the storm, the still point in this crazy spinning world. Another prophet, one of the greatest prophets of our time, maybe of all times, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who we'll talk about more next week as we remember his death, dedicated his life to something that he saw coming towards us from God's future. He called it the beloved community. It was clear to him that Jesus' belovedness wasn't something unique that was just for him alone, but it was how God related to everyone. Everyone. All God's children, all people beloved. And called together, called to recognize that in each other. Loved from the center, loved because they exist, belonging to God and thus belonging to one another. That's where it gets complicated. Belonging to one another automatically means that it's not going to be easy or simple to follow that road toward belovedness. That resolving differences through reconciliation and instead of retaliation isn't simple or easy, but that the destination, the identity, is clear, always, in any weather, no matter what it took to get there. That is our identity, no matter how far away from home we find ourselves. And as MLK knew, there is a cost to that identity, and a cost that grows greater the more we identify with it. Martin paid the ultimate price for it. John points it out today. Fire. Baptism is a symbol of washing and cleansing from all the distorted ways of living that we have learned from a rigged system that makes us compete and comply for love and belonging. But it goes further than that. It's change, this baptismal change, is so deep that it is described as fire. We still even have a place in our popular lexicon for it. Baptism by fire. This thing that happens to us, it could be whatever happens in life that just grabs us and plunges us in a way that we can't escape, and it unmakes and remakes us. That's the key. The fire doesn't burn us. As the prophet Isaiah says, you will walk through the fire and not be burned. You are mine. I have called you by name. Instead, what it does is burn up everything that is not us. Even if we identify it and say, well, this is who I am. Well, if it isn't, it's going to burn. It's going to burn like chaff. You've ever seen chaff burn? It immolates. Unquenchable. As the world continues to turn into turbulence, because it will, becoming the beloved community, finding our primary identity as God's beloveds, and seeing everybody else that way, is our primary piece of work. This is from now to the end of our days. It is being baptized. I had a professor in seminary 25 plus years ago who said, the important question is not, have you been baptized? But it's, are you being baptized? It's not a one and done thing that now I'm a member of the club. It's an identity that only works and makes sense if we're living into it, rooting into it. And that baptismal identity is beloved. This is one of the best pieces of spiritual advice I've ever heard comes from the head airline attendant in the emergency instructions on every single flight that ever takes off, which is, put on your own mask first so that you will be able to help others. That's not me first, to hell with y'all. That's, the work starts here. And if it doesn't start here, it doesn't matter what work we do, it's not gonna have traction. That's how Jesus starts his ministry. It's really, I just caught it this year. Jesus is baptized, and he's then praying. Just roots it right in his own action. And in this seemingly scandalous possibility that we fully belong and are loved as we are, and we always have been, and we always will be, and so will everybody else. That will keep us busy for a little while, that work. And to help us, in Epiphany Tide, we are going to be using, straight through the next 6 weeks, as our affirmation of faith, we'll use the baptismal creed of the early church, and then as our prayers, we will use the baptismal promises from the baptismal service, just as a way of reinforcing this pattern as our primary identity. This is who we are. This is how we are. This is the template of the beloved community. And then this afternoon, 4 p.m., I hope you all come virtually online to the annual meeting, where in addition to the usual of voting on leadership and reviewing our resources, we will talk about goals and directions that the leadership is setting for 2022, which is simply our way of focusing now on what it means and looks like to become God's beloved community. Beloveds of God, who are offering this radical way of living and seeing, because it really is radical, to the rest of the world, starting with ourselves. And I hope you look at the way in which those goals and the baptismal promises overlap and interweave, because they do, and they should, and they must, as part of that belovedness, always leading us toward this primary identity, who we are and how we are, how our actions matter. Even in the most confusing times, like ours, where we are beset by the unexpected at almost every turn, if we are daily baptized into and anchored down into this universal belovedness and belonging and relatedness, that compass will guide us. That identity will hold us through the fire and remake us in the fire. And as the desert mothers and fathers from the early centuries said, not only will it do that, but we will become the fire, burning bright and hot and beloved, and gathering all who wish the same into that same heat and light.